You're listening to Trucking with Authority with Kenny Long. Now is the best time in a long time to take the leap and become a motor carrier. We'll dispel the rumors, teach you how to avoid the scams, take your questions, and give you the tools you need to get your own authority and get... You're listening to Trucking with Authority with Kenny Long. Now is the best time in a long time to take the leap and become a motor carrier. We'll dispel the rumors, teach you how to avoid the scams, take your questions, and give you the tools you need to get your own authority and get the success you deserve. Let's head down the audio road and start trucking with authority.
If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the results of 100 battles. Quote from The Art of War by Sun Tzu. Welcome to the program. This is Trucking with Authority. I'm your host, Kenny Long. For the next hour, consider me your navigator on your journey to build a better trucking business. We can talk about anything tonight, from getting started in the trucking industry as a driver all the way up to becoming a motor carrier and pulling freight under your own authority. We can talk about dealing with the FMCSA, working with, is it too loud? Apparently we're having some audio difficulties today. I can hear me very well, that's for sure. Something's backwards here. We can talk about getting started with the FMCSA. What in the world? Hopefully that fixes things. Okay. Getting started with the FMCSA, talking about getting set up, filing the paperwork to get your own authority, working with freight brokers, finding freight, load boards, sales, marketing, billing and factoring, insurance and record-keeping requirements, anything that has to do with the trucking industry, we can discuss it here tonight. Go ahead and press 1 on your keypad if you have any questions or comments, anything you'd like to add. I'm trying to work out the kinks here on my end with some of the equipment. Tonight's topic, freight brokers, friend or foe. Very common in this industry. I'm going to have to unplug some stuff here. Give me 1 minute. And I think now we should be online. Okay. Tonight's topic, freight brokers, friend or foe. In the trucking business, freight brokers play a huge role in everything we do. They're a huge, important link in the chain, from shippers all the way to carriers. They move hundreds of thousands of loads that otherwise would be very difficult to secure directly from a carrier directly to a shipper. Unfortunately, they have a very hard time in this industry trying to stay a positive. Most carriers look at them as a very negative. Brokers tend to have the image that they take advantage of carriers every opportunity that they can. Again, if you have any questions or comments on the topic tonight, and I do apologize for we're having technical difficulties right off the bat here today, but go ahead and press 1 on the keypad. We will get you on the air. The phones do seem to be working properly. I've just been thrown off a little bit here this evening. What in the world is going on with this?
Hi, this is Elizabeth Long. Kenny is going to be right back with us. We are having some major technical difficulties right now. Blog Talk did say that they were having some problems before we started the show, but we thought we could go through with it here. So I'm going to see if I can hand my phone to Kenny and let him take over. We'll be right with you.
Okay, I think I'm live again. We're back. All right, we're good. I've got thumbs up. Okay. So my quote tonight, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the results of 100 battles. Quote from The Art of War from Sun Tzu. When it comes to freight brokers, knowing their business is extremely important. There seems to be an issue with interference here with Skype for some reason, and I'm not even on Skype. I'm not sure what's going on. Anyway, I do apologize for the technical glitches. This doesn't usually happen on my end. I'm not sure what's going on here. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the results of 100 battles, The Art of War from Sun Tzu. Understanding freight brokers, understanding their business, as much as you understand your own business, is extremely important. Freight brokers provide a huge service. They are the link between shippers and carriers. Again, if you have any questions or comments, I should be able to bring you online, apparently better than I can bring myself online tonight. Go ahead and press 1. I'd love to have your questions, comments on the air. You can find this show and all the other Audio Road shows at letstruck.com. Click on the link to the Audio Road. You can find this show tonight and all of the past previous recorded episodes. You can also find us at Facebook at Trucking with Authority. There's a page and a group. If you have any questions or comments you'd like to ask there, feel free to post. There are several other members in the group with a lot of knowledge and more than willing to help and assist. We've been helping a lot of people in the past few weeks get their own authority, get started in the industry, and get started on the right foot. That's what this show is about. That's what the Facebook groups are about. And that's what the network is about. Again, if you have questions or comments tonight, press 1. We will get you on the air. Tonight's show is all about freight brokers, understanding the role that they play, understanding how they affect our business as carriers, and understanding how we can communicate with them, both in a strong market when there's an abundance of freight versus when it's a weaker market for carriers and there's more trucks on the road than there are loads to deliver. Now, in any market, freight brokers serve an important role. They are the tie. They are the link. Most carriers, and the majority of carriers do not even understand how to work with direct customers. Now, I've pounded that idea into people since this show has started about sales and marketing, building relationships, and going after direct freight. But over a couple of years of doing this, I understand that still most, even of my listeners, don't have direct customers, and many have never even tried, even to this day, have not even tried. I posted a quick little informal poll on Facebook, on the Revenue Knowing Rates and Lanes Facebook page. The poll was basically, how many sales calls do you make? Now, if you follow me on Facebook, you know that Elizabeth and I drove out by car to the CMC in Council Bluffs, Iowa. On the way back, we stopped to visit some of our good broker relationships to solidify that relationship. And in doing so, we had an opportunity to talk to some of the brokers, the agents, and the sales teams at these very large broker offices. When we first walked in, there were hundreds of people in the room, hundreds, all on the phone and on their computers. And in talking with hundreds of them, we asked, how many sales calls do you make? Most of them in the room, if they were on the sales team, were making about 40 brand new contacts, 40 new cold calls every single day, 40. Now, granted, a broker is making a different type of call than we may make as a carrier. As a carrier, we're out there to try to find freight that fits our needs. That might be in an area where our trucks will be. We may be trying to set up a dumbbell or a triangle route. Whereas a broker might be making just blanket calls to every business in the area. But still, when you have an agent making 40 calls per day and you have a room of hundreds of agents, I assure you that they are getting in touch with customers that we as carriers could be reaching out to. They're literally making thousands of phone calls to potential shippers to move their freight, thousands of potential customers every single week. Now, when I posted that poll on Facebook, we had a variety of answers. Now, coming from that brokerage office, my responses were, how many calls do you make per week? 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 30, 30 plus. Most people, the majority, marked zero. Zero calls. There were a few that put the as the answer, not enough. They make not enough calls. So I assume they make some, but they make not enough. They know they don't make enough. So hopefully they're out there trying to make the effort to make more contacts. But the majority make zero. Some of the even bigger carriers that I'm familiar with only make 5 to 10 weekly. Now, we're competing against brokers that make 40 calls per day. And in the broker office, there were hundreds of people making all of these calls. And we make zero, or maybe 5 or 10 weekly. So what role do brokers play? Now, the overwhelming majority of people that when you ask them what a freight broker does, they would respond, from the carrier side at least, they would respond and say, well, they're just somebody that sits around in their underwear all day with a computer, a laptop, a phone, and maybe a fax machine. That's all they need. Now, I can also tell you, on top of the 40 cold calls we were making by phone, about half the room was empty. Empty seats, empty computers. Because they were out on the road making in-person calls, knocking on doors, talking to their connections in person. Some had traveled across the country, had booked flights and flown across the country to make their sales calls or to close the deal. Now, they're not truck drivers. They're brokers. Some of them may or may not understand the trucking aspect of the business. All they understand is how to move freight. They understand brokering. But yet, they get on an airplane, fly across the country, because it's important enough to them to make that sale. And yet, here we are as carriers with the equipment, with the assets, with the need for this freight, and the majority of us make zero calls. Now, I say all that not to pound in even harder about how we need to be out there making sales calls. Yeah, I've said that many times. Obviously, I'm saying that now again. But that's not the point of what I'm trying to make. The point is, the brokers are doing that for us. The brokers are out there trying for us. They're making the calls for us. They're flying across the country for us. They're knocking on doors for us, making phone calls for us. They represent us. We are the drivers. We are the ones that ultimately move the freight. And if we're not out knocking on doors, if we're not making phone calls, and we're not flying across the country to make it happen, we need somebody that can represent us. So who do we turn to? We turn to the freight brokers. So freight brokers, friend or foe, is the title tonight, and I think we've pretty much ruled out that they're a foe, at least from that side of it. We need them. We, as carriers, need freight brokers. But what exactly do freight brokers do other than just making the contacts? Well, first of all, they provide solutions to the shippers. where a shipper may have 1,000 loads a week. In order for them to handle 1,000 loads a week, they'd have to hire a small staff just to handle the logistics, just to hire trucks, just to make sure that every load gets moved. Or they can make one phone call to their favorite freight broker, and that freight broker can take all of that freight off their hands, and now the shipper can focus on what they do best, making widgets. The freight broker can handle the shipments. Now, frankly, shippers can make moves and ship their goods cheaper without hiring outside for-hire carriers. It's important to understand that. When a shipper manufactures their widget, their main goal and their focus is to make the best widget they can. And they focus all of their energy into that. They focus all of their resources into that. Their research, their development teams all focus on that. Their investments are all to make the best widget they possibly can so that when it hits market, it is the best widget out there and they can take the lead in the marketplace. Shipping that good across the country, shipping those widgets, has nothing to do with improving the widget itself. So they can hire outside carriers because they don't want to deal with that. Now, I've given the example on past shows about how to quote a load and using a daily rate and the cost per mile. And usually, you have to factor in a profit on top of just your operational cost. You have to make money. We're for hire. We have to make a profit in shipping these products, shipping these widgets. The one thing that the shipper themselves don't need to do, if they went out and bought a truck and trailer to ship their own widgets, they don't need to make a profit on the shipment itself. So right off the bat, you understand that the shipper can ship the freight cheaper than we can do it for them. Now, there's a lot of other aspects to that I understand, but still, just in basic principle, in theory, the shipper could do without carriers altogether. So one of the common things that carriers say about brokers is, we could go to shippers directly. Carriers don't need brokers. We can go directly to the shippers. But also remember that the shippers also don't need carriers or brokers. They could do it all themselves. And they could save money doing it by themselves. They don't need us. We provide a service to the shippers, just as brokers provide a service to not only the shippers, but also to the carriers. So one of the things that they can do is, they can be the middleman. They can be the point of communication for both the carrier and the shipper. Now, most people think of that as a negative, but understand it can also be an extreme positive if you understand the communication pipeline and understand how that they can intervene. So I'm getting ready to bring on my call screener, Elizabeth. Hopefully she's ready to go.
Hi, Kenny.
Elizabeth, are you there? Okay.
I'm here.
I didn't want to catch you off guard here. We had an issue just today, actually, where we had some damage to a trailer, and we had to get the freight broker involved. Why don't you tell the story, Elizabeth?
We had a delivery that we made. It was just a little load that, you know, got us to our good-paying load, and we all know how somehow those little loads that we try and fill in the blanks with, always something seems to go wrong, and it did go wrong today. And unfortunately, when they were unloading our trailer today, they actually punched 3 holes in the roof of our trailer. And while we were desperately trying to figure out how we could get this fixed and move on to our next load, we were able to reach out to the broker agent who at first had directed us to call his corporate office and talk to them. And I think when we called them, they basically blew us off. It was amazing, though, when we called him back and, you know, we were discussing calling the customer and such, when he volunteered to reach out to his customer on our behalf and has also communicated with them through email and has carbon copied us on that. And he's really taking ownership and trying to help us get this handled. And I think that that is amazing. And we will be happy to work with him again because he sees this as a partnership and not just, you know, we're working together. to make sure the customers are happy and, you know, he actually cared about us. And I appreciated that so much.
Now, because we had the broker involved, he was the one point of contact, and he was able to contact not only the shipper, but also the receiver, and he was able to do the investigation for us and figure out exactly what happened and who to contact and who to file our claim with. And it took all of that off of our table because now we don't have to make all these extra phone calls. The broker was able to do that for us. Now, this is typically above and beyond what they're supposed to have to do, but they are still the contact between the carrier and the shipper. It's their customer. So he went above and beyond and did what he should have done and handled this problem for us. Now, that's one of the things that a broker is for. We pay them to do a service for us. The shipper pays to move the freight, and as the carrier, we get paid to move the freight. Broker takes a percentage of that. So essentially, yes, the shipper pays that broker, but ultimately that freight bill falls on the carrier, and the broker is taking a percentage. So in a nutshell, the way it works is the carrier is paying the broker for their services. And what that broker did for us today was what brokers are supposed to do. They are the point of contact all around. Did you have anything else to add, Elizabeth?
No, I just want to say that I've had a lot of really good experiences with really great broker agents who really do take the time to look out for us as carriers and are not just interested in, you know, making their next buck and moving on. They're interested in developing a relationship with us and making sure that we both can succeed in this industry so that we continue to provide good service to each other. And there are really good brokers out there. You can find them.
That's okay. No? Well, thanks for chiming in tonight. And I'll put her back on hold. We do have some other calls coming in. I see that there are while she was on there, there were some other questions popping in. If you have any questions, comments you'd like to add, go ahead and press 1. We'd love to hear your stories. Now, the other part that brokers can offer is another layer of protection. Now, they can offer that protection both ways, to the carrier as well as to the shipper. And let me explain how. As a carrier, if we go to a shipper and we want to move their product, the shipper will look at the carrier, a rolling potential problem, exposed directly to an accident, exposed directly to a lawsuit. The carrier is the first line of problems, so to speak. So if the carrier is in an accident, the carrier's insurance, and most carry it $750,000 or maybe $1 million of public auto liability, which means if the carrier's in an accident, maybe they hit somebody or damage some product or damage the roadway, damage a bridge, maybe there's a fatality involved, that $750,000 or $1 million level of insurance will get sucked up pretty quickly in a lawsuit. So that's something that shippers look at, and they look at their risk working directly with the carrier. Their risk can be higher. One of the things that a broker can do, now because a broker is a middleman and the broker hires the carrier, the broker can act as a buffer to that liability. Now the broker often goes in and will have more insurance, higher levels of protection for that shipper than the carrier could possibly afford on their own. Now understand, carriers, are the highest risk in the whole freight chain. They are the ones exposed to the traffic. They are the ones exposed to a potential accident. So because of that, their insurance rates are exponential. So most carriers have $750 or $1 million of insurance. Many times, it's almost impossible to afford more. In some cases, they may carry $2 or $3 million, but it's exponentially more expensive than just the standard $750 or $1 million that most carry. A broker, on the other hand, their liability, their risk is much lower than at the carrier level because the broker is not exposed to that directly. The broker may easily be able to afford $3, $4, $5 million of public liability insurance. They can, in turn, offer that insurance to the shipper. So one of the first things that a broker can do for the shipper is offer more protection. So now if that carrier gets into an accident and he's carrying that shipper's goods, the shipper ultimately, and this is the United States of America, so they're going after the deepest pockets. And some of us out here, don't take offense to it, but some of us out here are driving trucks that, you know, they're not worth that much. Maybe a brand new truck, $150,000, new trailer involved. You might have $200,000 of equipment rolling down the road. Even still, a lawsuit may be in the multi-million-dollar range. And most of us, even if we have that type of equipment on the road, we can't afford that. That's the importance of having the insurance. Now, if it's just the carrier directly to the shipper, the lawyers are going after the deepest pockets. And the deepest pockets involved are the shipper, typically. That's why the shippers want that extra layer of protection. So one of the reasons that shippers get the freight that carriers can't get directly is because they offer that buffer. They offer more insurance to the carrier or to the shipper. So when the carrier gets in an accident, that first $1 million of insurance is sucked up. It then will go up the chain to the broker, and they may have $2 or $3, $4 or $5 million more in addition to what the carrier had before the shipper themselves ever actually get affected. Now, as I mentioned before, the other thing that they offer to shippers is simplicity. The shipper no longer has to worry about handling multiple trucks, writing multiple checks. They make one phone call, and once a month they write one check, and all of their freight is handled. That's the broker's job. The broker is taking care of all of their logistics for them. In some cases, brokers, or more appropriately, 3PL, third-party logistics, they may even have offices at the shipper. They may have employees running warehouses, operating the forklifts. They may own the machinery. They may own the warehouses. They may even own the dunnage, the cages or the shelving or the racks that the product is shipped in. They handle all of it. Most carriers don't do that. The brokers can't. The brokers can step in and fill that void. Now, what protection do they offer from the carrier standpoint? Well, the same applies. They offer that extra level of insurance, this time in the form of a freight bond. So what happens is, if the shipper decides not to pay, or the broker doesn't pass the funds on, that bond serves as a layer of protection for the carriers to go after to get paid for the freight bill. They have that extra layer. They can go after, and there's money there in reserves that the carrier can call on to get paid. If you have any more questions or comments on this, we seem to be having all kinds of technical glitches tonight, but if you have any questions or comments, again, press 1 on your keypad. That'll get you in the queue. Elizabeth is in the other room screening calls. We've had a couple of questions pop up, but they were only up momentarily. I don't know if we're having issues with the phones on your end as well. We're trying to address it as we speak. Maybe the Blog Talk site having problems. I was getting some weird interference messages about Skype popping up, and I got cut off a couple of times, and I'm not even using Skype tonight. So I don't really know what's going on with the Blog Talk site tonight. Seems to be some issues there. So, and I do apologize again. More technical glitches here. Okay, we had another question online. Let me get to this here. Now, dealing with brokers, from a carrier standpoint, negotiating with brokers, talking about how to work with them in a, both a soft market and in a strong market. When you're in a soft market, many carriers feel that they don't have any leverage in the negotiation. Now, this is what I've been driving into people since the beginning of my show, and that is make sure you have strong relationships with the people you work with. Now, that's both carriers or direct customers, brokers or direct customers. Make sure you have a contact, somebody that knows you by name. It's very difficult in a soft market when there's just not enough freight out there, which is how it's been in the first two quarters of 2016. There just hasn't been enough freight to keep all of the trucks busy. If you're brand new in the industry and you start calling brokers that you've never talked to before, you have no reputation, you have no rapport with those customers, it'll be very difficult to negotiate a decent rate with them. The first time you work with a broker is the hardest to negotiate a good rate in a weak market, that is. Now, anybody that was here in 2014 knows exactly what it's like to negotiate a really good rate in a strong market, strong for carriers, where there's a lot of freight and not enough trucks. In 2014, it was like having a blank check. You could call a broker, or even better, post your truck and they call you, and you could name your price. 2014 was the carrier's market. But shippers got wise to that, and brokers got wise to that. Now understand that brokers and shippers often enter into long-term agreements. And in a long-term agreement, if you have to pay more to the truck than you have in the load, you lose money. Nobody can lose money out here. In 2014, there were a lot of loads that cost brokers more money than they had in them. People don't like to believe that, but it's true. Now, when that happens, the customers start looking at what they can do to cut costs. So the first thing that they can do to cut costs is sign long-term agreements in a slower market, such as 2015 and into 2016. Now, that's good for the shippers and good for the brokers, because it locks them into a rate. It's bad for us carriers, because if they're locked into a long-term rate, it'll take a lot longer for the rates to come back up to where we like to see them on the spot market, the one-at-a-time loads. Now, the other side of that coin is carriers can also negotiate stronger when they have that relationship built and they have the rapport with the customer, with the broker. So when there's not enough freight to go around, the brokers call the trucks that they trust. They call the carriers that they trust. They give the money to the carriers that they trust. Now, it may not be record-setting rates, but it's certainly going to be much higher than the one-at-a-time call that they get off the load board. They'll call their trusted trucks first, and they'll have their budget for the trusted trucks first. And the trusted trucks will still make a profit, even when the newbies that they've never talked to before are losing money. Now, take it the other way around. In a stronger market, now, here we are, it's June 21st, 2016. The past 3 weeks, rates have started to come back up. Since Memorial Day, rates have started to come up. Prior to Memorial Day, when things were soft, unless you had really good relationships, you could not get a good rate out here. And Elizabeth wants to chime back in again. Let us bring Elizabeth back on.
Hey, Kenny. I was just listening to you and thinking about some of the things you were saying, and I wanted to mention that I think that we've been really fortunate in this market to have built relationships with a lot of different broker agents. And one of the things that I notice is when I call them, they remember me. They know who I am because I try and talk to them on a regular basis and let them know where our equipment is so that we can help them. And I do find that a lot of times they are willing to pay extra for one of our trucks than they would for someone that they don't know, who's just finding them on the load board, simply because of the fact that we will make sure that they're taken care of. Even, for example, this past weekend, we had a load on Saturday that was supposed to be picked up, and at the last minute, it canceled. And we already had our next load booked, I think it was about 1,100 miles away. And this past Saturday, Saturday morning, as you can imagine how hard it is to try and find a load from point A to point B, and I have to get to point B by Monday, how hard that would be. But this owner-operator and I worked tirelessly to find the right load to get him there to deliver on Monday, and we did it. And we didn't have to call this broker back and say, oh, we can't do it. We made it happen. Broker was pleased. The customer was pleased. Everyone was taken care of. And when we do things like that, that, you know, we look out for them just as much as, you know, they've done the hard work to find the customer. And when they trust us and will pay us extra, we'll make sure that they're taken care of.
Right. That's a really good point. And we've been fortunate over the past couple of years being able to build strong relationships, and it's important to build them and not take advantage of the brokers, because they remember. They remember when you take advantage of them. Now, in 2014, carriers were bragging that they were raking the brokers over the coal. They were taking advantage, taking every dime that the brokers had, almost as if it was funny. But remember, those are relationships that we're working on. Those are relationships we're trying to build. So if you take advantage of the broker, you can bet that they'll take advantage of you when the tables turn. And we have some calls popping up. If you have any questions or comments, go ahead and press 1. Having some technical glitches on my end, so if you have questions or comments, it would definitely help us get moving here tonight. So don't hold out until the last minute. Let's get you on the air now. My end seems to be the glitchy side, but the callers can chime in a little easier. That's why Elizabeth's trying to help out when she can. She's got an easier time on her side with just being on the phone. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about is how to help avoid some of the risk. Now, when you're working with a broker and a new broker and you try to set up with them, they, of course, send you their carrier packet. Very rarely will they let you add your addendum to that packet. But you can often change it. You could redline through some of the wording, and you can add some of your own to theirs. But not very often will they allow you to add your complete packet on top of that, your addendum. One of the things that I recommend people do is to make sure that everything is on your rate confirmations. Everything that you've discussed with a broker, every detail of the load needs to be in writing in a rate confirmation. If it's not, you need to make certain that you have some other way of having your bases covered. Now, one of the things that you can do is to publish, and you need to publish this before. This is like having an insurance policy. Have it before you have a problem, and that's to have your rule circular in writing and ideally put on a website for the public to view before you enter into business. Now, a rule circular, and I've mentioned this before, go to transportationlaw.net, and there's actually some samples of a rule circular, and it could just be one page. But it would outline the conditions of your services provided. It would give a basic menu of what you provide to the customers. Now, if they do that, and for some reason you have an issue that's not explained properly on either the rate confirmation or their master carrier agreement, if you have your rule circular published, you can refer them to that and show that, those rules were in place prior to you conducting business, and that becomes the default answer to the question. And it's much easier, especially if you ever enter into a lawsuit, it's much easier to defend yourself if you have those in place. Now I'm going to go ahead and bring on Mick in Illinois, and Elizabeth is going to chime in with him as well. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Just kind of wanted to talk with you a little bit about, you know, I'm just listening today, and I've got a situation. I'm a one truck carrier. Got my authority would be October of a little over a year and a half now, I guess. And so I had, you know, started out in 2014, like you said, you know, with a good year, and then things kind of got soft, and I was just doing spot market freight, and then I kind of got mad because I felt like I was being taken advantage by a lot of these people, and I just decided I wasn't going to work with anybody. I shouldn't say I wouldn't work with anybody I didn't know, but I was going to try to develop relationships with people, and then they were going to, if they, anybody ever kind of did me wrong, then I wasn't going to work with them again. And that's worked fairly successful for me. I've got a few brokers that I use quite often, one in particular lately, and I'm kind of in a situation where I feel bad when I have to say no, but some of her rates are a little lower, and I've just kind of mentioned, you know, like, well, you know, kind of just been looking for some more money, and she's like, well, they really watch that, you know, but she has given me, I believe it's just all that's kind of all that she's got, and the particular customer, I enjoy going to that place and hauling for them, but, you know, if they're a little, you know, lower paying, I guess, and it's kind of an interesting conundrum, I guess, is where you go from just trying to get anything to where when you have people want your service, to kind of pick and choose without, I don't want to say offending them, but, you know, how do you, I guess my business skills are maybe a little lacking in that, those areas, you know, where, you know, to just say, well, I need to have more money, or that's kind of what I'm trying to go for, you know?
Well, Elizabeth is on the line with us now, and Elizabeth is an expert when it comes to that. Elizabeth, you want to chime in?
Yes, absolutely. Mick, I think you're doing the right thing by trying to work consistently with the same brokers, because you will definitely get better rates when you are repeatedly partnering with the same people, simply because they know you. They know your equipment. They know your past reputation, how you've taken care of customers in the past, and that helps a lot. Because I think when a broker has a customer load that they want to get moved, the last thing they want to do is have that come back to them. So if they can pay you a little bit more money, put it on a truck and equipment that they can trust that'll get the job done right, I know if I was a broker, I would rather do that. So, you know, you're doing the right thing with that. In regards to how do you build the relationships with different brokers as a one-truck carrier, I think the most important thing you can do is touch base with them as often as possible. Let them know even every day where your truck is, where you're going to be, what you're looking to do, and allow them to kind of look and see what they can possibly match you up with. This works particularly well with the bigger brokerages like Coyote and C.H. Robinson, and I'm trying to think who else that we talk to on a regular basis. Those are two of our big ones,
sure,
that I talk to on a regular basis. And, you know, and the neat thing is a lot of times they might even start to call you, you know, and ask you where you're going to be, and they'll hunt for loads for you. We've done very well with that, you know, in building a relationship with them that way. And in regards to the broker that you're working with that offers you low rates, I would have an honest conversation with her, because it seems like she wants to work with you. You've done a good job for her in the past, but her rates aren't high enough. And I would have an honest conversation and explain to her exactly why you think her rates are too low and what you think they should be. I actually talk very regularly with a broker here in Florida who contacts me and asks me to give them a bid on every lane that they have from one particular customer, because they know that if I give them a bid, they can move it for that, even if it's not moved on our truck. And maybe you can help her quote the next moves that she has with this customer. You know, and over time, you know, maybe you can help her get that rate up a little bit and have it be something more fair that, you know, maybe she can move it for a lower rate with everyone else, but maybe because you're helping her, you know, she'll give you as much money as possible, but maybe you can help her make more money in her pocket,
mm-hmm,
you know, because if she can, if you can't cover it, let's say she's trying to move it for $1.60 a mile all of the time. Well, if you can help her realize it should be $2 a mile or something like that. Well, if she can still move it at $1.60 a mile with carrier B over here, well, that's great. She gets to keep more money. So maybe you can be an asset to her and help her with that.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of, you know, what I've kind of tried to do, and I just, I kind of feel bad, you know, because if I'm busy with one and then they want to kind of, I don't know, you can almost, sometimes when you get a lot of people at once, you can almost plan your whole week out in advance, and I don't like doing that either because things go wrong sometimes. I don't like getting too far ahead of myself, but it's just, like I said, well, just for instance today, you know, she had texted me and said she had two coils out of Chicago to this place where she, the shipper that she works with. And then, but I just felt like I needed to do some better revenue. And so I kind of had sought out another broker that I had used in the past and then kind of got away from, but because I really enjoy working with her, but I just didn't feel like my revenue for the week was where it should have been. And that's another interesting thing when you're running kind of a shorter runs. You know, you kind of only have 5 days, and if you have a shipper or receiver that ties up a lot of your time, then your revenue is down. There's just I don't know. I'm learning. I got a lot to learn. I feel like I'm doing pretty good though. But I still have a lot to learn. So
no, it sounds like it. And I think you stressed something important with these short hauls. You know that they can tie up your whole day. And although the rate per mile might sound good, sometimes it's not really about that. I have discussions on a daily basis with different brokers that offer short haul loads. You know, and they'll say, you know, this is a good rate per mile, and that's fine. But we also have a minimum rate per day that we need to achieve because we all have fixed expenses with having a truck out here on the road, with our insurance, with a truck payment or a trailer payment, anything
right,
like that.
Right, yeah, you talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and I've been trying to think more along that line too, you know, and that was kind of what prodded me to go ahead and try some of this other is, you know, it's only about 40 miles further away, but it pays $300 more per load, this other.
Awesome.
You know, and so that's kind of the situation. I'm like, well, you know, really for the same amount of time in the day, I can make another $300, you know, and that ends up to almost $1,000 a week if I can do three rounds, you know. And so,
that's right.
you know, that's kind of where I was. But yet I feel bad, you know, I almost feel like I'm going behind her back when I go to do, you know, I get the same thing. I got a coyote guy too that my one coyote guy, he had left to do something else, and I got this other new guy, and he calls me every day, and I feel horrible, but he just has never offered me anything decent, and I just like, you know, he's trying, it's kind of funny in a way to you. I guess maybe I'm too soft, but I feel bad when people try real hard like that because I know what it's like to try and get turned down all the time, I guess. But
I know. No. I totally understand, and I've been through the same thing. I actually had a guy from Echo that would call me all of the time, same thing, and just offer me loads that there was just no way I could do. I mean, there just wasn't. So I think the best thing you can do in those situations, though, is to be honest with them about what you're looking for, what you're seeing, that, you know, even what you're seeing, what you can get elsewhere, you know, and say, okay, well, I understand this is what you're offering to me, but I can also do this. And so this would make me happy. And this would make, if you could find me, you know, a load from point A to point B and it paid X amount of dollars, well, then we could do business together. And sometimes,
sure.
You know, I've had that conversation with my guy at Coyote as far as, you know, it's, you know, yeah, that's a good rate for those miles, but it's just not enough for the day. And I just can't do it. And so when I explain things like that to them, then they're able to refocus and find, you know, try and help me find what I am looking for. So things like that have been good. And when you are, if you do look on load boards and you are calling, you know, just random brokers off the load board, try and keep in your mind, you know, who you might have talked to that was nice to you and treated you well and respectfully, and try and call that person back again. You know, there's been a lot of the relationships I've built have just been off of, you know, we've done one load together and I like the way they talked to me. I like the way they communicated with me, whether that be they answered the phone, they responded to emails quickly, and we were able to get the job done well together. And I call those people again and again because, you know, maybe just off that one experience, I get a good impression from them and I want to see what we can do together.
Sure. So,
don't be afraid to start a relationship on your own, you know, just of, you know, hey, I like you. Let's see if we can connect more often. What else do you have?
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Let me chime in now. Let me chime in on one other thing. Now, you mentioned that you talk to the brokers and you might tell them what you're looking for. Remember that brokers are out there making hundreds of phone calls every day. If they can start looking for something specific, they can start making those phone calls tailored to you personally. Because they know if they can find, you know, if you put yourself in a broker's shoes and they're making hundreds of cold calls a day, they land a shipper that they can negotiate a decent rate with, and then they have to put it on the load board and hope they can find a truck to move it. Well, if they already know that they have you that they can fall back on, they'll push harder to call the customers that fit your needs. And maybe they have customers they've worked with in the past that they know have shipments that fit your needs, and they can call them specifically and say, look, we have this truck specifically there for you. Let's make it work. So if you let them know what you need rather than just begging for their freight, they can do the work for you. We pay them. Remember, the way I broke it down, in a way, we pay them. They don't just pay us. So they make money off of us as well as we make it off of them. So put them to work. Make them find the freight for you, and most of them are happy to do it. It makes their job easier.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, well, more food for thought, so thank you.
Well, thank you very much for the call. We have plenty of callers on the line tonight. If anybody else has any questions or comments, we have a few minutes left. We might be able to get another couple of callers in. We've been having some technical glitches like crazy, like I haven't had since we started this show. So I will be cutting this off promptly at 8 unless we have anything else come up. Now, the whole point of the show tonight is to help understand what role brokers play. And with my quote this when I started, and I think that's where I started getting caught off with the glitches here. But again, the quote is, if you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. And that's from The Art of War by Sun Tzu. Now, when I was at the CMC, part of my presentation was to be an expert. Be an expert in everything, not just your own business, but everybody you deal with. Understand the business ins and outs of your customers. Understand the ins and outs of your competition, the people you work with, the people that help you do your job better. When they call you, understand what they're doing. That's one of the reasons why I'm trying to give a little bit of perspective on what the brokers are doing on the other side of the phone. They're making hundreds of phone calls for us. They're able to negotiate on our behalf. They're able to find freight for us. And to understand what they're doing helps us to understand how we can negotiate better with them and to help us build our bottom line. So with that, due to the technical snafus that we've been having tonight, and I think we're having some phone issues and everything, I am going to go ahead and cut this off. And I hate to cut it off early, but most nights we go long. I usually set this up for an hour and a half. I try to shoot for an hour. We always go long. But tonight, 7:57, I am going to cut us off a few minutes early. I apologize to all the listeners. Thank you all for holding out with me for the past almost an hour. I do apologize for the glitches. I am going to spend some time trying to figure out what happened here tonight. But as always, thank you so much for the support. You can find us online at Trucking with Authority on Facebook. There's a page and a group. Go ahead and do a search for those. You can ask all your questions on the Facebook group, and I will bring on anything that we can. I'm also working on trying to set this up to where I can go live possibly with some video in the future, so stay tuned for that. You can find this show and all the recorded shows and all of the other Audio Road Network shows at letstruck.com. Click the Audio Road on the banner at the top of the page. You can find us there. Show us some support. And with that, again, thank you all for hanging out with us tonight and hanging out through all of the difficulties we've had. Aim high. And did I get cut off already? Aim high in your goals. Strategize your plan and earn your success. Have a good night, everybody.